Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride to get.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Throwback Reviews Podcast. This is episode 25 for December 25th, our Christmas episode. My name's Sean. Let me go around and see who's with us tonight. I see my buddy there, Rob Flack O'Hara. What's going on, Rob?
How are you doing, man? Are you all ready for the holidays? You got all your shopping done? You're all everything ready to go?
Everything is done. My wife gets an early jump on stuff so that we don't have to go out. Like, I know of like a few years back before she started doing that, we just go nuts driving in the traffic and all the chaos of shopping, and I haven't had to deal with it in a few years. It's great. I love it.
Are you an online shopper for Christmas?
She does a little bit, not much, but a little bit.
I think I'm 100% this year.
What's that?
I think I'm 100%.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I had one thing for the kids that they wouldn't ship to the house, or that shipping was too much actually, but I ordered it at Walmart. Have you done the Walmart where they ship it to your store? They ship it to the Walmart that's nearest to you, and then you walk into the front counter. You've already paid for it, so you just walk in and you give them the receipt number and you pick it up. So that's the only thing I'm going to have to do. But, yeah, we've had a steady stream of packages coming over the last couple of weeks. But it's so much – I like it so much better than going out and the hustle and bustle. I can watch that on TV.
Yeah. Speaking of packages – coming to the house, I had a couple packages at the door the other day. When I came home, I had a big box full of Atari 2600 games from you. So I appreciate that, and I thank you very much.
You did.
To add to my collection that you've already got me started. So,
yeah, I was amazed. If you haven't listened to the Atari 2600 episode, you should go back and listen to that one. But Sean didn't have an Atari 2600, and so we got him hooked up with an Atari and a few games. And so I decided to go through my collection, and I thought, you know what? I bet I have a few duplicates. Now, I estimated before I started that I probably had, I would say, between 5 and 10 duplicate Atari games. Okay, how many Atari games were in that box?
A lot.
More than 5?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
25. I was amazed. Right, and some of them were when you start collecting stuff like that, when you first start, you buy one game here. Like, you go, oh, Asteroids, I don't have that, you know? But later on, you start buying, like, lots of stuff. Not lots as in many, but lots as in, like, on eBay, you know, you'll buy a lot of 30 games or something like that, and you may already have 20 of them.
But there's a couple in there that you want.
Right. And so that's how you end up with, you know, half a dozen copies of Pac-Man or whatever. So, yeah. I hope there's stuff in there that you guys will play. Have your kids been playing it at all?
You know what? We haven't hooked it up because I have an old vintage suitcase that I keep the Atari in with a bunch of games. So I have to kit it out and set up, and I won't let them do it in it. You know, without me. So, but I am off next week. I'm off for about a week and a half. So I'm hoping to get some gaming in. My brother's coming up. So I'm hoping we can play some Atari. They played when you sent it up, we've played a few times. And
nice.
And they had fun with it. Actually, my 5-year-old enjoyed it more. But I also had a box from Rick from the Intellivisionaries podcast sent me a nice box of Intellivision. Games because I just got an Intellivision. I know it's not the Intellivision 3. I think it's the Inti 3, I believe it's called, or something like that. My co-host Eric on Android App Addict sent me one. We just happened to be talking about it. He's like, I got a couple in my basement. I'm not doing anything. I'll send it. So I definitely, it was like Christmas at my house yesterday. It was
so
great.
Let's talk about these Intellivisionary people because I sent Sean this care package of Atari games, and I thought, oh, you know, I mean, he's going to like this. And so I didn't know that the Intellivisionaries were sending you a thing of Intellivision games too. So Sean sends a picture and he's like, hey, it's like Christmas. And so on one half of this picture are the Atari games I sent. And let's not beat around the bush. There were some in pretty rough shape. I know that there was one in there. There was an ET where someone had actually made their own label. Like they put a white piece of paper, wrote E.T. and put some tape on there. So I'm not going to say they're collector condition, but they're play condition, you know, if you want to play games. And then there's this box that the Intellivisionary sent Sean. Let's talk about this box. It may have come from an Intellivision museum. Like they may have broke in somewhere. And these games in that picture, they look mint. I mean, everything's in the box and stuff. So apparently I'm going to have to step up my game for next year. I'm going to start looking for vintage collectibles to start. I'm going to have to one up these guys now because that looked, all kidding aside, it looked like a pretty nice collection of Intellivision stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of games in there as well with boxes and so again, you know, I'm hoping to be able to get on that thing and play some games. I've never played on an Intellivision, so I'm really looking forward to it. So, but yeah, thanks to Rick from the Intellivisionaries, very very cool. So enough chit chat with us. We have a guest with us tonight. Someone that's been on with us before and a guy that we love having on, Mr. Vic Sage. What's going on, Vic? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me back on.
Anytime.
Sadly, I haven't been on the job quite as much as you guys, though, because I've done this year no shopping.
Ooh.
No shopping.
So gotta wait until actually about 4 hours before I have to go to work Friday. So.
Oh, wow.
So I will probably be trampled to death somehow.
I was going to say Friday. It shouldn't be too busy out there on a Friday before Christmas. You should be okay, Vic. Be in and out of those stores.
And Vic, you work, you've said this before, you work in the hotel industry, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay. So what are the odds that maybe like on Christmas Eve, somebody leaves something behind in their room? You know what I mean? Like that, you could wrap that up. That would be a present. You're like, look, honey, here's a camcorder with somebody else's home movies on it. This is, you know, this is all right. You could probably, or you know, if they don't leave anything, you're like, look, here's this matching pillowcase and sheets, you know, and they might have some, you know, the hotel brand on it, but you know, you can overlook that stuff. But I think you should sniff around in the rooms. You might, I see a lot of nice vacuum cleaners. I see a handy laundry cart. What wife wouldn't want a handy giant laundry cart? I think there's some good stuff, and I don't think you gotta go out and beat the masses. I think you might want to just look around there. You might find something.
Well, see, that would work, except for, you know, she works at the hotel too.
Oh,
so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so sadly, I can't pull this stuff off. You know, I gotta.
Oh, she's gonna call you out on that then.
I gotta go for those special gifts. You know, like that, you know, jelly of the month club type stuff.
So, what else have you been up to, Vic?
Guys, just the same. You know. Writing posts for The Retroist and, you know, working at the arcade when I'm not working at the hotel. Enjoying the holiday season, though. So,
well, that's good. We're glad to have you back, Vic. We really are.
Well, guys, I'm very, very honored to be back. I really am.
Yeah, if you want to see Vic, what's your handle on Twitter?
I believe it's VicSage2005.
Okay, yeah. I think I just usually search for Vic Sage and it comes up, but... if you want to see Vic's posts on The Retroist or what he's up to, go out and find Vic Sage. Yeah, I think you're right. Vic Sage 2005 on Twitter. And you're always either retweeting. I mean, it's not just stuff you post. It's all kinds of stuff that go on The Retroist. You're always keeping that stuff up to date on Twitter. So if you follow that, that's a good way to see what's going on over there.
Yeah, and speaking of retweeting and Google Plusing. I want to say, and I know, Rob, you feel the same way. We want to thank Kevin McLaughlin.
Oh, yeah.
He is always, I mean, not just our show, Throwback Reviews, but all the shows on the Throwback Network. All, you know, he listens to them. He tweets them out. He Google Pluses them. And we really, really appreciate all the help he's given about spreading the word for, like I said, not only our show, but the entire network itself. It's great.
Yeah, he's definitely done a lot of good press for us, a lot of advertising for show. You know, sometimes a new podcast will go up on Throwback Network, and if I'm not watching the website or anything like that, I won't know about it. But then I'll see a notification from Kevin, you know, and it'll say, hey, you know, hey, I just listened to this new podcast. I'm like, oh, there's a new podcast, and it's on my own network, and I haven't listened to it yet. So it's like he's beating us to the punch on stuff.
Yeah. So we thank you a lot, Kevin. We really appreciate it. So why don't we now, we'll move on to our subject here is talking about Christmas, being kids. And for me, you know, aside from the snow, but knowing that it's winter and Christmas is coming, the first thing that gets me is the music. And I think we have to admit, it seems to be getting early and earlier, like even before Thanksgiving now you're hearing the Christmas music. But I mean, that was a big part for me as a kid, at least, you know, when my mom would bring out the Christmas records from the closet and they started playing, that was the best for me, you know. Andy Williams record, to this day, I don't listen to the actual album, but, you know, you hear it on Pandora, you hear it on the radio, and that was probably for me the my favorite Christmas album as a kid growing up, and still is today. I mean, like I said, you still hear it on the radio and stuff like that, but I need to get a record player because my mom still has the record. But Vic, how about you? Is there any, you know, albums that maybe, you know, your dad would get out and put on, and you're like, all right, and it's officially the Christmas season?
Oh, certainly. Well, as I've said before, I spent a lot of time at my grandparents'. So, I mean, they didn't raise me or anything like that, but after school, things like that, that's where I would go stay. And I listened to lots and lots of older music. Things like Christmas songs by Sinatra or the Dean Martin Christmas album. And so when I hear that, I mean, I just, you know, I can't help but get this giant smile on my face because I can almost smell, you know, my grandmother baking. Things like that, you know, in preparation for Christmas when I hear these certain songs.
Yeah, it's a great thing. I mean, and Dean Martin, Sinatra, you can't go wrong with that.
They're the best.
Yeah, definitely great stuff. How about you, Rob?
My mom was we did the same thing every year around Christmas. We would, my mom had both of my parents had huge record collections. I remember her playing, I think, maybe Patsy Cline maybe had a Christmas album or something. I know that we always listened to the Gene Autry Christmas songs, but what my sister and I, we got our own Christmas albums pretty early on. So really what I remember is I had the Star Wars Christmas album. I know, Sean, I know you're a Star Wars fan. I don't know if you had that, you know, the R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And
no.
What do you get a Wookiee for Christmas when he already owns a comb? those are classics. So we would listen to those every year. Let's see. The Chipmunk Christmas album is probably the one that I was the most familiar with. I had that on record, and we would listen to that every year. So all the Chipmunk stuff. And then,
you know, I think we had that as well. Was that a red record?
Mine wasn't, but if I was looking online, and that thing has been released more times than there are songs on the album, for sure. I mean, and there's two volumes too. There's volume one and volume two. I mean, if you're looking, like, I was looking at the cover art, and it's literally been released probably a dozen times over the years. So it very well could have been maybe a special edition or something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we had that. And not just the record sleeve, but the actual record itself was red.
Was actually red, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a few of those over the years. Not the Chipmunks one, but I had a novelty E.T. single, a song about E.T., and it was red, like E.T.'s heart, you know. And then the same guy that did that the next year, he did a song about Mr. T, and the record was see-through yellow, like it was supposed to be gold, you know.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute, was that Buckner and Garcia that did that?
No, it was actually a fellow named Tom Wayne, who was from Nashville, but he had moved to Oklahoma for a while, so he was local around here for a little while. But you know what, the other one that I always will think of is John Denver and the Muppets. And, you know, I was a Muppets fan. I wouldn't say I was a John Denver fan per se, you know, as a kid. But, you know, anything Muppets was great. And we actually, in school, I remember for Christmas, we sang The 12 Days of Christmas, the Muppet version, you know, with Miss Piggy and singing about the five golden rings.
Yeah.
Ba-da-bum-bum.
Yes.
But, yeah, so whenever I hear that song, that's the version I think of. So, yeah, for Christmas, especially, you know, by the time I was 8, 9, 10 years old, my wife or my sister and I had started getting our own Christmas album. So it was more kid Christmas stuff for us.
Yeah, that's, you know what, I almost forgot about that. And then, I mean, I remember it when you said it, but even the ba-dum-bum, I do remember that we had that album as well. And, you know, and speaking of the Muppets, you know, there was a few Muppets Christmas specials. I mean, you have, in for me, when you think of Christmas specials, you know, you got your Rankin Bass, you know, Rudolph special, then you have, which came later, but when we were kids, A Christmas Story. But what were some of your other shows that you look forward to, whether it be a TV show or maybe like a, I don't even know, like a variety show or a movie? You know, Rob, did you have specific shows that you watched then and maybe even still watch today?
Well, the Rankin Bass stuff, that was the biggest one for us for sure. The Rudolph special, the Frosty the Snowman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Those were, and you know, I think we talked about this maybe on a previous episode, but it's different today now with DVRs and DVDs and all these things. I mean, you can watch, when this show's over, I could go watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer right now. And when we were kids, we couldn't do that, you know, so it was, you waited for that special time of year. And, you know, you saw the commercials, hey, this is going to be on at 7 o'clock and on Friday. And you know, at 6:50, you know, I'd go get my big glass of Nestle Quick. Get my big. We had these giant pillows. We called our floor pillows. So I go get the big floor pillow and sit around and wait for that special. You know, and you waited all year. They didn't show it in August. You know, they didn't show it any other time of year. So you had to wait for that time of year to see those. So those were number one for me. And then you mentioned the Muppets. Emmett Otter Jug Band Christmas, that has to be probably my favorite Christmas anything. Maybe one of my favorite Muppet anythings. I was such a huge fan of that. I remember when they would air it on HBO, and then we taped it off of HBO, and I would watch it. I was actually friends with a guy who was in a band, and we were doing some recording, and we ended up recording a version of the River Bottom Nightmare Band. I love that song so much. And as a kid, you know, we talked about this a little bit on the Dark Crystal episode, but as much as I love the Muppets, I loved movie special effects and things like that. And so watching Emmett Otter and trying to figure out how, you know, I mean, some of it is obviously Muppets, some of it is marionettes, some of it is miniatures, and just watching the whole thing and trying to figure out how they put together this, you know, essentially a feature length special, you know, and it's yet another thing. We've talked about it, and it makes me mad. I don't want to talk about it again. It's one of those things I put on, and my kids, 10 minutes into it, they're like, eh. I think I'll go watch SpongeBob, and I'm just like, oh, God, it just makes me so mad.
My kids, we just watched it. I'm the same way. I grew up with Emmett Otter. Loved it as a kid. Still love it to this day. And I watched it this year with my kids. And at first, there was a little bit of, I won't say resistance from my oldest son, but he maybe disinterest in it. But he finally came around, and then he actually said, because he came about 20 minutes into the movie, kept asking me questions, and I'm just like, oh. And again, it was, you know, facing the tablet and then asking me questions, and I can't stand that. You know, it's like, right. If you want to know, get your face out of the tablet. But right. My youngest son, he's 5, he's going to be 6 in January, and my daughter, they really enjoyed it. And so my oldest son said, Dad, you know, can we watch this on Christmas Day? I'm like, absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
You're like, not only can you, it's required in this household. My favorite from the River Bottom Night, if you haven't seen it, I don't know if people haven't seen it, but there's a basically it's about this little band of otters. And, you know, it's a typical Muppet type story where at the end they're going to put together and they make a jug band and they're going to play at the local talent show. And they go up against these bad guys who've come all the way from River Bottom, as they introduced, the River Bottom Nightmare Band. And they come on stage and they play like every other, you know, the Emmett Otter's friends, they're in a jug band. So they've got a guy blowing into a jug and they put a hole in
the washtub,
yeah. Right? So they made a washtub bass and all this. And then River Bottom Nightmare Band comes out and they're like, the Electric Mayhem from the Muppets, except for even heavier. It's like total, you know, one of the guys in the band is a fish who just comes up and spits water at people. It's just a great evil characters. And there's my favorite line in that song is they're talking about how mean they are, you know, and one of the lines is, we don't brush our teeth because our toothaches will help us stay mean.
Yeah.
I love that line. I'm like, that's a mean guy right there that wants a toothache, you know. But yeah, Emmett Otter, that's just a classic, man. And you know what? I'm going to tell my kids on Christmas morning, I'm getting up early. I'm going to be like, listen, I talked to Sean. His family's watching it. No presents get open until we watch Emmett Otter. I'm going to make him sit there all morning until
we're going to be doing a Google Hangout with the Johnsons. And everyone's going to be watching it.
Exactly. Nobody opens a present until there's a hole in the washtub.
Yeah, that's definitely a good pick.
Well, that's what, you know, Paul Williams did the music for Emmett Otter, and that's what got him the job for the Muppet movie.
Oh, really? So that was before the Muppet movie.
So I'm pretty sure on that. Right now there are people listening to us going, what is Vic talking about? He's wrong, completely wrong.
Already, right? But yeah, you know, and the only other one that that we've started watching every year, and it's one of those that I don't know that it's, I wouldn't call it a classic because there's so many different cartoons. You know, there's a Smurf Christmas, there's the Flintstones Christmas. Everybody has a Christmas episode, you know. But the one that I always enjoy, and probably it's because it's a crossover of multiple things I like, is Pac-Man Christmas special. And we always watch that. I used to like that show. I was probably too old to be enjoying that when it first came on anyway. I think it's Christmas Comes to Pac-Land. And, you know, so it's basically Santa Claus, his sleigh crashes and, you know, Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, they have to help Santa and do all these things. I don't know. There's something about that one. And like I said, it's probably because it has to do with video games as well as Christmas and stuff like that. But yeah, we do end up watching that one quite a bit too.
Yeah, I think there was just a posting on the Retroist about that one. I know there was about the Smurfs. And are you talking about the Flintstones Christmas Carol?
Yes. Yeah, I think so.
I just watched that this weekend with the kids.
Did you?
Yeah, I never saw it before. Hmm. And I got to say, I wasn't that impressed, but I am 30, and I love the Flintstones. Hmm. But I don't know, maybe it's because I've been watching this version of A Christmas Carol, this version, and this, you know, I was just like, oh, I've had enough, but I don't know.
You know what, I do want to say, every year we watch Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay.
And I don't know why. It's something we saw as a kid or whatever. But I had never seen It's a Wonderful Life until last weekend.
Get out of here.
First time I've ever seen it.
Did you like it?
I thought it was okay. It's probably like a lot of things, I think you tend to enjoy the one that you grew up on watching more, you know. Obviously there's a lot of... what's the right word? You know, things that, not an idiom per se, maybe a trope, you know, like, oh, well, what would life have been like if I'd have never been born? I mean, you've seen it 100 times since then, you know, but to see the original, you know, and also, you know, everybody's heard that, you know, when a bell rings, an angel gets its wings,
right.
But to see where it came from, you know, so I thought it was good. The kids actually did watch it. And just like what you said, my kid sat there with his iPad the whole time, halfway through the movie. He's like, who's that guy?
Yeah.
Who's that? What's that? I'm like, I'm not telling.
That actually,
like, if you can't watch a movie, then yeah, too bad.
That actually got put into our rotation last year. because they had never seen it either. And mm-hmm. it wasn't something that I had seen a ton. I had seen it a little bit here, a little bit there. And last year we watched it. And I mean, I really enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. The kids were kind of like, I think they finally like left. For one, it's in black and white. So they're just like, what is this?
Right.
I mean, I just did an OTR playlist on, and it's the Lux Radio Theater, with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed of, It's a Wonderful Life. I love it. I love the story.
Nice.
And, same with Miracle. There's a Lux presentation of that as well. It's really good. So, but yeah, that's in our rotation and, it will stay there. How about you, Vic? What are some of your old favorites?
Two of them that stick out are probably a Cosmic Christmas that was done by Nelf Animation way before they kind of became popular, you know, for Saturday morning type cartoons. They were this independent Canadian animation studio.
Cosmic Christmas, you said?
Yeah, Cosmic Christmas. And it's still, you know, it's on YouTube, things like that. Sadly, it's not available on DVD. But every time I watch it, there's a certain point, you know, I'm man enough to admit it, that I just start tearing up. So it's just beautiful, and it's just so tied in for me for the Christmas season.
Right. Yeah.
So the other one would probably be Scrooge with Albert Finney, the musical.
Okay.
So my dad and I used to watch that constantly. TBS used to that was its, I think, first 24-hour marathon before A Christmas Story took over.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great, great film. I mean, it's a musical, of course. So if you don't like musicals, you're probably not going to care for it, but
I don't mind.
But Albert Finney just knocks it out of the park as Ebenezer Scrooge.
I'm going to be on our yearly repeat as that Sound of Music remake. Did you guys sit through that?
I was at work when it came on.
Well, not all of us could be so lucky.
I caught the tail end of it.
Did you? You know, I've mentioned before on the show, I grew up with a younger sister. So, I throw that out often, when I'm about to say things like, I know every word to every song in Annie, that I was pretty good at the Strawberry Shortcake Atari game. there are certain things, when you have a sister. I know all the, unfortunately, I could probably name all the Care Bears. So I did watch The Sound of Music more than I probably would like to admit when we were children. And so, you know, I know it well enough to know that, I don't know, Carrie Underwood is not Julie Andrews, but, you know, you take what you can get.
Well, real quick on the Cosmic Christmas, what it is it's three aliens land on Earth during Christmas Eve. They're trying to figure out what Christmas is. I mean, and then they hook up with a family that shows them. I mean, it's every, you know, it's what you think. It's the Norman Rockwell family. You know, they're threading popcorn for right. Christmas decorations and all that. But there's a town bully, that's spoiler warning, that ends up stealing one of the family's pets, which is a goose. And everybody, you know, gets together and, you know, they save the goose and they end up saving the bully because he goes out on ice and it breaks and he almost drowns. But of course, the ending being Christmas, everyone's like, you know, yeah, you got to forgive him. You know, he comes from a bad home. Come have Christmas with us, that type of thing. It's just, it's really heartwarming. So, in fact,
God, I thought you were going to say at the end, they ate the goose.
Well, he's never seen again. No, just kidding. This was actually, it was on a VHS tape that was a Nelf Animation special, and they were all holiday, mostly for holidays. There was the Devil and Daniel Mouse. There was Romeo and Juliet. There were two robots. There was, I believe it was an Intergalactic Thanksgiving, or also known as Please Don't Eat the Planet. And then the Cosmic Christmas. And I just rented it once. It ended up being at the video store that I would work for 7 years. And every single time we would take it back, I would re-rent it. I mean, we paid it 20 times over of what the actual tape cost, even back then. Finally, my dad was like, I am not renting that ever again. So come, I mean, come one of the Christmases. I was like, that's what I want to watch for Christmas Eve over at my grandparents. He's like, I'm not going to do it. No way. So so when we got up to the counter, one of the girls there, she's like, well, you're not going to rent the Nelf animation thing? And I did. I was kind of teary. I was like, so he's not going to let me rent it. And so they said, no, go ahead and grab it. You know, it's free of charge. And my dad's like, oh, man.
Well, I'm glad you explained it, because I was looking it up and while you were talking about it. And I've never seen it. Have you, Rob?
No. How old? I mean, like, what era is that? Actually, was it made?
Late 1970s, I believe. Maybe. Very, very early 1980s.
Huh. No, I've never seen it.
And did you say it's not out? They don't have it out on VHS or DVD?
Nope. Nope, none of them, as far as I know. Not even Daniel and the Devil and Daniel Mouse. Apologize, though it's a bonus. It's an edited episode that it's a bonus on the Rock and Rule movie, because that was also done by Novanimation.
So when you worked at the video store, did it accidentally come home in your lunch bag at all?
At all. And that is the very first thing that I looked for. Someone had stolen it. So,
oh, geez.
And it really wasn't me. many, many years.
It was probably somebody. They were like, this movie's never in stock.
It must be the greatest movie ever made. A couple years after that, for Christmas, Shay, you know, the Arcadia Retrocade, he actually found another copy in a local video store, a couple towns over. And he just went up to him and said, would you let me buy this? And they said, yeah, $5. And he's like, done.
So, oh, wow.
All right, good. So you do have a copy of it.
Oh, yes, yes. So.
Or he makes you rent it from him. Oh, man, that's funny. Well, that's good. You know, I've never heard of it. Is it something on YouTube, maybe?
Yeah, it's definitely on YouTube. And I've even thought about posting it on the Retroist.
So. Well, we'll have to keep our eyes out. Maybe it'll show up. Speaking of the retros, you just posted, and it was funny because I was filling out my notes for the show, and you had posted about Rich Little's Christmas Carol, and that is the number one on my list.
Awesome.
Love this. I love it, man, since I was a kid. We taped it off of HBO. I believe it's from like 77, maybe, something like that. I probably shouldn't. 79. It's really, if you haven't seen it, it's the you know, it's the Christmas Carol story, where Rich Little basically is everybody. He you know, he is Ebenezer Scrooge. He's every character, Bob Cratchit. But when he does them as another actor. You know, W.C. Fields is Ebenezer Scrooge. Paul Lynde. I love his Paul Lynde, who is the character of Bob Cratchit. You know, you got Groucho Marx in there briefly. Richard Nixon is Jacob Marley, that character was great. We were watching it the other night because I've probably watched it three or four times already, and I'll still watch it again a few more times. And yeah. What's that?
This year you've watched it?
Oh, yeah,
or four
yeah,
times?
Yeah. I just
Holy
love it.
Hell.
I just, and I, my wife was making fun of me, or, you know, laughing because we had some friends over, and we were just kind of, it was a Friday. It was last Friday. We were just relaxing, and we had it on, and I'm just sitting there with this grin on my face. I love it. And, you know, and when Jacob Marley comes in, which is Rich Little acting like he's Richard Nixon, and he has like tapes hanging all over him, like it's the Watergate tapes hanging all over him instead of chains or anything. You know, it's just really fun. It's really fun. I'm a sucker for, you know, voice actors or character actors, anything like that. You know, Mel Blanc is one of my favorites, you know, so I just love this. I love this thing. And I really could just watch it anytime, but this time of year, I will just constantly put it on when I'm doing something. Maybe I'll throw it on. Have you guys, obviously, I think Vic, you've seen it, but Rob, have you ever seen it?
The first time I ever even heard of it is when they posted it on the Retroist the other day.
Oh,
I didn't even know it existed.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's really good.
It really is. It is funny. Like I said, it's the normal Christmas Carol story, but it's very humorous, and It's funny because even growing up, I knew who most of the people were that he was trying to act to be, except for Tiny Tim. I didn't realize it until I was a little older. I always thought it was Elton John. I thought that's who he was trying to be. But it's actually Capote, isn't it?
Yeah.
Truman Capote.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I always thought it was Elton John. And then at the end, you know, when he throws the money to go get the Cratchits a turkey or whatever, there's a supposed to be what would normally be like a kid out the window, but it's actually Jack Benny, which I realized later on in life because he did the if you know Jack Benny, he always had that where he would put, yes, Vic's doing it now, where he puts his hand on the side of his face and kind of gives the audience a look. And so that's definitely one of my favorites. If you haven't seen it, I don't believe it. I don't think it's on Netflix, but trust me when I say you can find it on the internet and in other places. Edmund Otter was another one I had on there. So, those are ones that definitely I have to watch every year. And like I said, you know, I wasn't a big fan of Frosty. I'm still not. We watched that the other day and I was like,
happy birthday.
Yeah. I never liked Frosty the Snowman. I love Rudolph, not Frosty, not a big fan of it. So I get past that one.
And I'm blanking out on the guy's name. Is it Vernon something? Do you know that, Vic, the guy that does Frosty's voice?
I don't.
Gosh, I'd have to look it up here in a second.
It's not Vernon Wells, right?
No. The guy that does the voice for Frosty, when I was, early teen, or maybe even slightly before that, I started discovering B-level, maybe C-level type horror movies. And there was a movie we found at our local video store called Microwave Massacre, which is I think it was made right around the time that Microwave started coming out. It's a really, really goofy horror movie with way too many. It's like a cross between a horror movie and a bad Benny Hill skit. I mean, it's just really, really awful. But the lead in that is the same guy that does Frosty's voice. So the whole time you're watching this stupid horror movie where this guy, basically he kills women and then he cooks them in the microwave and he gets addicted because the microwave makes everything taste so good. It's a really silly movie. But the whole time he's talking, he's like, I should go out and get some more women, you know? And it's like, oh, it's Frosty. It's like a Runzy, you know, just to see, you know, to associate that. Cause that's the only two things I associate that voice with is Frosty, the Snowman and the Killer and Microwave Massacre.
What about the year without Santa Claus? Without a Santa Claus?
I definitely remember that one. It's not one that we watch regularly now. I'm trying to think. Is that help me with the plot on that one?
So it's one where Santa Claus feels like he's not really appreciated and he's feeling a little ill. So Mrs. Claus tries to get two of the elves to, you know, get all this feedback, I guess, for, you know, to let Santa know that he's much appreciated and needed. And it's got a Snow Miser, it's got Heat Miser. Go team Snow Miser.
Definitely remember that one. What about any traditions? I mean, like, I know one thing when I was a kid, we would always do rings. We would get red and green construction paper, cut strips, make a ring, staple it, put another one on, and then we would hang it up, and we would do this on the first day of December. And then every day, every morning we wake up before we go, you know, get ready for school, we would go down and my brother and I would go and you'd cut off a ring. I guess it was kind of more like a poor man's advent calendar in a sense, you know. How much is some construction paper and staples? But, you know, that's a tradition that I've my wife never did that, but I've done that with my kids every year. And I don't know, did you guys do the ring thing? Did you ever hear of the ring thing?
not myself, but I tell you what, when I read that on the, you know, the pre-show notes, I was like, I am totally stealing that for our kids. So seriously, I mean it, Sean. So it is incredible. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I think it's a fantastic idea.
I will say, maybe this is just my kids, but there will be, you know, I'll come because I'm gone. By the time they get up in the morning, I'm already at work, almost on my first break. So I'll get home and I'll be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You guys forgot to cut a ring today. You know, I think I should, next year I may just make one for myself. So it'll be four rings, setting up there. But, and the other thing is, you know, Christmas cookies, always making Christmas cookies with my mother, more so just like we call them the Kris Kringles or the cutout cookies, you know, all the other stuff she would do, but we wanted to do the fun stuff with the cutouts and, you know, getting frosting all over the place. And, again, that's another thing that my wife will do with my kids. We make a ton of cookies here, and tonight she started, and they were making gingerbread men. And she says to me, because my kids, you know, they want to eat as they're doing it. So they're ingesting all this sugar and getting crazy. And now there's wrestling matches going on in the other room. And my wife's like, you know, I can do a little bit of these cookies with the kids, but I can only handle so much. So she'll be doing it tomorrow while they're at school. But Vic, how about you? Do you have any Christmas traditions like that?
Well, okay, yeah, sort of. We've got kind of an odd one, which shouldn't shock any of you. Christmas Eve chili. So I have every Christmas Eve since I've been able to eat solid foods, my grandmother would make, I mean, guys, a gigantic vat of chili. I mean, you could swim in this thing. And I mean, every year, I mean, and it's, when I think of Christmas Eve, I just start, my mouth kind of starts watering because I can taste that chili. And that got broken for the first time last year, actually. And my grandmother and grandfather came up and, you know, we were gonna make it, or so I thought. And my wife was being kind enough to get everything ready. You know, there's the hamburger meat, here's all this kind of stuff. And I'm in the back room getting some stuff ready. And I come out and my wife is already cooking. And I'm going, why? What are the noodles for? Why is there pasta? And my wife is like, oh, we're having spaghetti. And I felt like someone had run and kicked me in the stomach.
And that didn't sound like chili.
Yeah, that's how much of a tradition it was, guys. I was like, okay, I'm not going to cry in front of anybody today. But my grandmother came up and I said, you know, what the heck's going on here? Did you know that my wife is making spaghetti? And everybody was like, oh yeah, yeah. And I'm like, it's Christmas Eve. We have to have chili. It's not Christmas without chili. No, on Christmas Eve. So this year I made sure that everyone, you know, knows that I do not plan on eating spaghetti. On Christmas Eve.
You lay out all the ingredients on the bar. You know, like chili stuff like that.
Yeah, you will not be having Italian chili this year. but that's a good one. I mean, that's, you know, that's tradition. You expect that kind of, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's,
I can,
when tradition gets
that
broken, it hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else? Let me ask you this. Did you, were you one of those types of people, as Rob would refer to, as that would open gifts on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, yeah. We also had one on Christmas Eve as well. It's just one. You got to pick one gift, so you hope you picked really good.
So. Were you able to like shake them or anything like that, or was it just like by sight you had to pick by sight?
No. I'm notorious for, even to this day, still checking out the packages. Weighing them. That kind of feels like it could be a, you know, an Xbox game. I would fall asleep constantly under the tree. Moving them around. Of course, obviously they were all clearly labeled. I knew which were mine. And yeah, I would go, this really feels like it could be a toy. This is big enough for a Transformers box. This is the one I probably should open on Christmas Eve. And that only backfired once. So
we didn't start doing that till I was, you know, like a teenager. Maybe I could do something like that. But yeah, we never, we didn't do any gifts on Christmas Eve other than because we would go to my grandmother's for Christmas Eve dinner. You know, my aunts and uncles would all show up. And so the gifts that we would do was just basically our family exchange with my uncles and cousins, stuff like that. But yeah, we never, it was pretty much we would get home from my grandmother's and it was scrub up and get upstairs and go to bed. You know, there was no, well, can we do one? I don't think we did that till my parents got divorced, where my mom would be like, all right, you can open one. We were able to break her down. But how about you, Rob?
Well, as far as traditions, one I just thought of that we do every year, and we've done it every year that I can remember, is on Christmas morning, we have waffles. And my dad, I don't know how this started. I guess just when we were kids, you open your presents. And so we had, you know, a set time. You weren't allowed to come out of your room before 6 a.m. So at 6 a.m. we would come out, and then I'd say, by, you know, 7:30 or 8 o'clock, everything was done. Everything was open. Everybody's laying there. And then my parents would go in and my dad would make waffles. And of course we'd have bacon and eggs and all the other stuff. But that was you had to have the waffles. That was like the primary thing, you know. And so now, we do Christmas at my house, of course, and my sister does Christmas at her house. And, she lives on the same street that my dad lives on. So, but my family, we still do the tradition where the kids, you know, we do Christmas at 6 a.m. on Christmas Day. My sister and her kids, I think they get out of bed around 8 or 9 or something like that. I mean, they're not like early birds like my kids. So, my dad comes over to my house, usually about 10 till 6. Comes in, the kids come out of their bedroom at 6, they open presents, they do all that. My dad goes in the kitchen, he starts making waffles every year. And it's at the point now where he really doesn't eat that kind of food anymore, you know, so his waffle iron stays at my house. So every year, like, you know, Christmas Eve, we're like, all right, where did we put that? And we dig out his waffle iron, make sure it's all cleaned up. And, you know, Christmas Day, when he comes over, we've got the waffle iron out. He makes waffles. And when we're done, we're cleaning up. We put it back. So it's his waffle iron. It just stays here. And we only use it one time a year. But, yeah, that's definitely one for us. Sean, I think you and I were talking, not too long ago. First of all, we were not allowed to open anything before Christmas morning. And in fact, the rule in my house was if you found a gift before Christmas, you didn't get it. Now, that never actually happened, but that was the threat, you know, that my parents had instilled in me. And it was so, I believed them so strongly that I would avoid, you know, like my mom would say, oh, hey, go get your clothes out of the closet, you know, and I'd be like, whoa, wait, there's no presents in there, is there? Because I didn't want to accidentally find anything, and, you know, and that I wouldn't get a present, you know. So, yeah, and that, I still have that to this day. I don't think that I ever found one of my presents early ever, and still to this day. I mean, my wife will say, you know, hey, I'm wrapping presents or whatever, I'll go to the other part of the house or I'll do something. Because to me, I like that surprise. I like the, you know, the Christmas morning unwrapping the stuff and finding it. I don't want that spoiled. So, yeah, that was definitely 6 a.m. was for us. But, you know, one thing we don't really have in the show notes, but it just kind of hit me that the traditions that we do now in my family are kind of a conglomerate of my traditions, the things that I liked from my family, and the things that my wife brought from her family. And I never really thought about this before, but I wonder if the things that we did were partially from my dad's family and partially from my mom's family too. I mean, you grow up and so you just say, this is how we do Christmas, but there probably was, you know, some, combining of their traditions as well. I never really thought about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Some compromising,
you know, and also, Gives you a warm feeling, though, thinking of, you know, how this makes you connected to your ancestors, how mm-hmm. a little bit each time gets passed on. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing that's funny is when I was a kid, we put up our Christmas tree about 2 weeks before Christmas. So we would have maybe even around the beginning of December, you might say. So we put the tree up. We would have a big, you know, my mom would put on the Christmas records. That's my most vivid memory. You're talking about Christmas records, is my mom would get out Christmas records, put them on, and my sister and I would decorate the tree. My mom would pull the ornaments out, and we would hang them up and do all that stuff. But for us, when Christmas was over, that was it. I mean, not at 8 in the morning or 8:30 in the morning, but maybe by that day, we started, you know, taking down Christmas decorations. Now, my wife's family, they put their tree up just a couple of days before Christmas, and they kept their tree up till New Year's Day. So it was kind of a shift. So now the compromise in this house, apparently, is we put it up on December 1st, and it stays up till New Year's Day. It drives me crazy, but we'll have a tree up for an entire month.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is here. We do it that way. Actually, we'll take it down before New Year's, just because we usually have you know, a fairly decent sized get together at my house, and I do not have a big house at all. So my wife's just like, get it down. It's been up long enough. We usually put it up, probably the week after Thanksgiving. So yeah, beginning of, around the beginning of December. And then after, you know, a week after Christmas, just before New Year's Eve, getting ready for the party, we'll take it down. And I think we're all kind of ready by then.
You know. Now, are you a real tree or fake tree people?
We did a real tree once. So, yeah, we're fake. I have two dogs that would probably destroy it. You have a fake tree as well, Vic?
Yeah. Of course, my rule is I take it down when I feel I lose the Christmas spirit. So some there's been a year or two that tree has been up all year long. I'm being honest. Now, I also admit that was when I was a little bit younger as well. But, you know, my early mid-30s. But, no, I am honest about that, though. So that was the vow I would make is, you know, that tree's coming down when I've lost the Christmas spirit. So, like, I walk in and my fiance, you know, now my wife, walks in and sees me taking the tree down. It's like, bad day at work, you know.
She just turns around and walks out.
Yeah.
Vic needs to be alone today. He's lost the Christmas spirit.
When I was a kid, we had a fake tree was not an option in my household. It was going to be a real tree, and it was going to be probably the biggest tree my dad could get in his four-wheel drive Blazer, which turns out is a pretty big tree. And I have, you know what, Sean, I want to send a picture for you to put in the show notes. It's of my little sister standing in front of our tree, and I think she's holding an ET bank. But the reason why I like this picture is this tree is about 7 foot wide. It's like the majority of our living room is this tree, and either the top, I don't remember if he had to cut the top of the tree off to get it to fit in there, or it may just be like bent over or something. I mean, this tree is gigantic, but, and I am, basically, I had a doctor tell me one time that I'm allergic to Oklahoma. That's what he told me. I went in for, to get tests on my sinuses and stuff. And he's like, you're allergic to everything in this state. You know, everything in the air and the trees and the pollen and all that stuff, you know. But so I can remember I would spend the entire month of December stopped up with, you know, burning eyes and a runny nose. I remember one time having to help my dad carry the tree in. And then later that night, my arm was broken out. Like I had red rash on my arm from sticking it in and carrying the tree, you know? So, yeah, the day I moved out, that's the last real tree I was ever near. We have, a fake tree. And not only do we have that, this is another tradition that my wife brought into this, arrangement, living arrangement, if you call it that, is that we have multiple trees. This is something my family never did, but we have a tree out like near the front window of the house. Like if I owned a leg lamp, the window where the leg lamp would be, there's a tree there. And then there's a tree kind of in the back part of the house. And then the kids have their own, like those little miniature, small, you know, trees. I mean, they're a couple feet tall, but they have those in their room and they decorate them. It's like, I got trees everywhere. So we went from I grew up in a one tree home, Sean. I don't know how you guys were, but yeah, there's trees. You'll trip over a tree in this house this year.
Yeah, we were a one tree. And when I was a kid, I remember going out with my parents and I was young. They were still married and we went and cut our own tree. And it was, I mean, it was a typical Buffalo winter at the time, just snow. It was awful. It was an awful experience. I was freezing. It seemed like it took forever because my father was very, you know, picky on what tree he would get, which then would lead on when they were divorced. And I would go and, you know, my mom would always use a fake tree because we had a fake tree after that. Like that was the only time we got a tree when my parents were married. My mother kept the fake tree. And then I would go with my father, my stepmother, to pick out a tree. A lot of the, you know, places around here will have tree on display that you can just go up and buy and you haggle, just like in a Christmas store. And it was just like that, but worse. You know, my stepmother and I, we still joke around about it today where we kind of would go, all right, this is the tree we want, Craig. Okay. And my father would go, well, you know, who'd I talk to? And that's when my stepmother and I would kind of back away because it was like, oh, here comes the embarrassing haggle with the Christmas tree guy, you know? So, yeah, we don't, you know what? They're kind of messy. I don't know. I can see why people like having them, but it's not for me. It's just so much easier.
You know, another tradition that I forgot about, I guess I never thought about this as being a tradition, but did you guys have, did you ever set up a Christmas train? Did you have a train around your tree?
Not myself.
No, we had the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, little, that's cool.
That's what we would put around the tree.
like action figures?
They were like, they're almost like a squeaky dog toy type of thing. My grandmother brought them back from Disney World one year. We would always put those around.
We would put a Santa and a reindeer along with the presents. And it's kind of like the same thing Sean was saying that, I mean, it was big. It was a big Santa Claus, but it was definitely this weird plastic that, you know, you could only get in the 50s and 60s.
Right. Yeah. We always set up a train. And so that was, I'm not a model train guy by any stretch of the, I mean, that's the only train I ever messed with as a kid. So you would hook up all the track and then there would be like this hour long troubleshooting session because you'd plug this part of the track in, this part would come unplugged and you pull it this way and that would, you know, and then I remember a few years we actually went to like one of those little hobby shops, you know, like a model shop and bought, like a little fake bridge and a little train building. And so we set those up around there or whatever. But, I think either from, I don't know if it was my son's, it wasn't his first, he was born 2 weeks before Christmas. So I don't think it was that first year, but that second year, my dad brought that train over to our house. So I have that train still. And so, each year when we, set up the tree, we always hook the same train system up.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's definitely cool.
That's like what you said about passing something down, you know?
Yeah. And then someday, you know, one of your kids may be like, hey, I want to take the train. And you're like, you know what? Mom and Dad are only putting up one tree this year.
Right. I hope one of them takes it because that's a pain in the butt to set up. So.
Yeah. So
happy tradition.
So why don't we, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's one of those things where you hook it up, you know, and when you're, I don't know, you see both sides of it because the one part of you, and a lot of traditions are this way, you think, that'd be easier not to do it. You know what I mean? You go, maybe we won't set up the train this year. But once you get it all set up or whatever, it's not the train. It's the memories associated with the train. It's the remember doing it. You know, I have a picture of me playing with that train at the first house we lived in. That we moved out of that house when I was still 4 years old. So I was probably 2 or 3 years old, you know, and a picture of me and my dad playing with the same train, you know. So, it is one of those neat things that all of us on this show, we're all nostalgic guys. We're all into old stuff and retro stuff, but not just because the stuff is old, but because the memories that get associated with it. So
absolutely.
I think that's why we do those things. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Yep. Well, why don't we go ahead and talk about some of the, you know, first I'd like to know, you know, maybe what was one of your favorite or a couple of your favorite toys, but then I want to know, what was that one thing that you always put on your list that you just never happened, never got it. Vic, why don't you go ahead and tell us some of your favorites as a kid?
Oh, certainly. Well, my favorite gift that I ever got was, and I still have, in fact, I thought about even bringing it to the show, is the Fisher-Price movie theater. Do you remember the old Fisher-Price film cassettes?
Is this the thing, like, you hold it up and you would crank on the side and watch through it or something?
Right. The handheld viewers, but the Fisher-Price movie theater is bigger. You could actually watch it on a screen, and you could switch it so that it would shine on the wall. It would project
really?
On the wall, yeah. And I still have it. It still works. I still have all my cassettes. I mean, because it was real film inside them.
Were they like a yellow cartridge?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Those are it. And they had all sorts of stuff, whether it be Peanuts or you know, I think Gummy Bears was one of the last ones that they had. I don't think they ever had Transformers, which I thought was always odd. But it's amazing. I mean, and I would spend hours, guys. I mean, just frame by frame, literally just click, 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 you know, just watching Lonesome Ghosts, you know, from Walt Disney.
Uh-huh.
It was fantastic. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I had the handheld one with that. I don't know if that came with it, the Lonesome Ghosts, mm-hmm. Because it doesn't seem like I had very many, but I know I had that one. And there's a scene in that where the door falls in, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And the flood of water comes in and it goes like down a whirlpool or what, down a drain. And I can remember clicking that one frame at a time to see the difference and then flick it back and forward and then go forward and then back. I sound like I'm dissecting the Zapruder film here, but then I would flip it back and to the left. Animation, I mean, thinking that somebody hand drew each one of those things or whatever. So that's another, maybe a tie into my love of special effects and animation and stuff like that. But I never saw the movie theater one. So you could actually shoot that up on a wall.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it was pretty nice too. I mean, even for the time, I mean, it's just like a little flashlight bulb, but it bounces off of a mirror and that's what kind of gives it its strength.
Huh.
And it's incredible. I mean, of course, even at that, you know, early time of my life, you know, everything's movies, right?
Yeah.
So I even had the Snoopy drive-in theater. That was a Kenner. That's where like the Star Wars movies and things like that. And I remember sitting at my grandparents' table looking at the Kenner Star Wars film cassette, because, you know, it was meant for a handheld viewer, and going, no, wait a minute. It looks very similar to the Snoopy drive-in tapes for the cartoons. And long story short, too late, I basically just shoved it into the Snoopy drive-in, and it was. I mean, they're same cartridges, same size, but everything was backwards when it was projected on the drive-in theater screen. I mean, all the titles and all that. And you had to kind of work to get it out, but, you know. But now I apologize, I didn't mean to go so long, but...
No, that's great.
I can totally remember... The one thing I never got that I really, really wanted, and that was a Coleco tabletop arcade game. You know, the little handheld, mini-looking arcade machines, Pac-Man, Donkey Kong. And that when I was telling you earlier about the Christmas Eve, the one gift, that was actually the Christmas that backfired, because it was this box. I mean, I just, when I saw it, I was like, man, that's just the right shape. It's the, you know, it's got the right weight. And I do mean like when I would go to Walmart or something like that and pick one up, I would hold it in one hand. I would hold it in one hand and go, okay, remember this when you get to your grandparents' house. And I was like, oh yeah, that's the same weight. This is it. I don't know which game it is, of course. And I even, my grandmother just was like, oh, he's really fixated on this one box. And she goes, you know, what do you think that is? I said, well, I think it's a Coleco tabletop game. And she said, it's not. I'll tell you that right now. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, she's being crafty. Well, that Christmas Eve, you know, okay, pick your gift. And I went over there, and she said, I want you to know that's not what you think it is. And I'm like, ah, yeah. And opened it up, and it's a box full of Hardy Boy books. I mean, I loved to read back then too, you know, but I was just like, oh, well, thank you. You know, trying not to show the crushing defeat that I felt.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get it, you know, come Christmas morning. I was a little, you know, I mean, I hope that doesn't make me sound like a brat, but, you know, I was kind of like, oh, this is the worst Christmas ever.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we all probably felt like that at one point when we're, you know, you're a kid, you're fixated on a certain thing that you want. But that's funny. You want an arcade, you got books. I would have been upset. I hated reading. Like, Hardy Boys, what is this? Was it? Was it not a Cassidy? Who was it? Cassidy?
Yeah, it was Sean Cassidy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So. That's funny.
What about you guys?
Yeah, Rob. What? I mean, I'm going to assume that what gift that you didn't get, you probably have now. Probably behind you right now, but what was one of your favorites and one that you did and that you wanted you didn't get?
Well, this is the obvious go-to, but the stuff that I wanted was Star Wars stuff, and I got pretty much everything. You know, I mean, between Christmases and birthdays and whatever, you know, I was always getting the different ships and get, you know, and my parents of course had a. They kept a pretty close inventory of what I had, so I didn't get a lot of duplicates, you know. I mean, so, you know, once I had a ship, they would write it down or whatever. So when other relatives would call and say, well, does he have this? Well, he has this, but he says he wants this, you know, that sort of thing. So I mean, from 78 until 84, I would say, I mean, I got something Star Wars related every one of those years for sure, you know. One Christmas that I remember that was pretty cool was I got a guitar, and I was probably, I don't know, third or fourth grade, something like that. It was this acoustic guitar, and I got a Mr. Microphone. I don't know if you guys remember Mr. Microphone.
Yeah. No.
All right. It was a wireless microphone, and basically what you would tune it to, like, a, you know, an AM radio station or something like that. And then you could turn on your radio, and then you could hold down the microphone and you'd be singing through the radio, you know? So I thought that was pretty cool, but I think mine may have even been like an off brand. So it pretty much worked on any station. You didn't even have to put it on a specific station. You just press the button down and it would start blaring through, you know, the living room radio or the radio in my bedroom. But now thinking back about it, I wonder what the range of that was. Like, I might have been like singing into my neighbor's house or something. Like, I'm in there singing, you know, We Will Rock You or something, and beating on this guitar for percussion. And I actually did, at one point I duct taped around the microphone because you had to hold the button in. But if you were doing that, you couldn't play guitar at the same time. So, you know, I had taped the button down. So it's very possible that my neighbors, you know, were sitting there listening to everything going on in my house. You know, it was like broadcasting into their radios. Let's see. And when I was, I think it was sixth grade, I knew that I was getting older. And so you started getting, you know, bigger presents that cost more, so you didn't get as much little things. And I remember that Christmas being pretty light as far as gifts going. Like, I got a few things here and there, you know, and maybe some clothes and a couple of movies or something like that. But I remember feeling like that was a pretty light Christmas. And then my dad, he said, hey, I need you to go out to the garage. You and your sister go out and bring something in. And so we went out there, and I had a go-kart, and it had my name on it, and my sister had a small three-wheeler, and it had her name on it. So now thinking back, I'm like, God, I'm sure that was a ton of money, you know? So that explains why I felt like that up until that. But I lived just far enough, I mean, just a couple of miles outside the city, but it was right outside the city limits. So all my neighbors had motorcycles and go-karts and three-wheelers and things like that. Like, we just rode them on the streets of the neighborhood. So it was no big deal. So that's when I got my go-kart. So that was a huge, 'cause that's like more than a present. That was like freedom. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you could take off and go places and stuff like that. So, this is going to make me sound like a spoiled brat. I can't come up with a single thing I ever wanted for Christmas that I didn't get. looking back, I think my parents did pretty good job on, present expectations. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, if I said, I want to get, a llama or something, my parents would have been like, well, Santa, he really can't drag a llama all the way, but he could probably bring a stuffed Ewok. Oh, well, that's pretty good. So I think they would kind of steer me into, more reasonable type things like that. But I sat here, I can't think of anything. I had, not just for Christmas, but I had a great childhood overall, and we just had so many good times. I just couldn't even come up with anything.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's awesome. I can say there was stuff that I wanted that I didn't get, but I was never, I wasn't throwing tantrums like Vic was because I got books or anything, but I was always appreciative of
it. Boys.
But I do remember two of the things. I got the G.I. Joe hovercraft. My mother had gotten me that, and that was, because that was a big... That was a big piece of equipment for a toy,
That thing giant?
Yeah, it was pretty big. It was pretty big.
It came with Cutter, right?
Yeah, it did. And a bunch of other guys for me that year as well. So I was really into G.I. Joe. I love that thing, but like everything else, guys, you know where that went.
Don't even say it. Santa's listening.
Yeah,
he's gonna know what happened. Don't say it.
But I did. I used that thing a ton. I loved it.
Let me guess. Cobra One.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lost.
But that was definitely one when I opened. I can just remember opening that box. It was a big box and just being like, holy cow. And that was just one. I don't even think I put that on a list. That was just, I was really into G.I. Joe and probably had seen the commercials, man. Because we had great commercials for toys when we were kids. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm older, but I'd see the commercials for toys now for the kids, and they kind of suck. They're boring, the commercials. We had great commercials in the 80s for toys. But another one was it was the first year my parents were not together, so I think my father wanted to really make it a good Christmas. I had a great Christmas at my mom's, and then I went to my dad's, and I swear I'm not ripping off a Christmas story, but it was a BB gum Christmas. I remember a few weeks before that, my father gave me, you guys had mentioned in our notes, like the Sears catalog, Christmas catalog, the Wish book. And do you guys have brand names, or did you have brand names? A store called Brand Names. It was kind of like a service merchandise. You go in there, you'd fill out your card, they'd take it back in a warehouse and bring all your stuff out.
We had service merchandise.
Yeah, it was like a smaller version of that. And so my father would be like, here's the book, make your list. And I'm like, Dad, and he's like, what? No, never mind. He's like, well, what is it? And he's like, look, just put it down. Who knows what'll happen? And sure enough, it really was like a Christmas story. I had Christmas in he lived with my grandparents, and they had a furnished basement. So we did Christmas, my father and I, where he was living. And then we went upstairs to hang out with my grandparents. And then he was like, hey, I think there's something behind the couch. And it was the same thing, wrapped big box. And there it was a Crossman 760 Pump Master. I couldn't believe it. I think if they wouldn't have got divorced, I probably never would have got it.
So here's my question. Do you think this is a present to make your Christmas good, or do you think this was sticking it to his ex-wife?
No.
Buying this kid a BB gun.
No, I think it actually stayed with him for some time. Like, it was, okay. I would go and he would take me to the next town where there was a little bit of a wooded area would shoot the BB gun. It did eventually come home with me, but for a while it definitely stayed there. But one of the things that my brother and I both always wanted, you know, we growing up in Buffalo, we had, you know, real snowy winters. It's been kind of mild the past few years here, but growing up as a kid, it was like Christmas vacation. We would just sled all the time. We lived, there was a hill right behind our house. So we, a lot of times we'd get, cheap plastic sleds, but we always want, did you guys ever hear of the GT Snow Racer? Do you remember commercials for that?
I don't think so.
I don't think I know that one either.
It was basically you sat on it like it was a bike kind of, but it was low to the ground and it had skis, like three skis. You had two on the side.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, and one had a steering wheel and that ski, you know, that's how you would steer by the front ski that would move with the wheel. And you would just sit on it and have your feet on the other skis. And there would just be, I mean, there's commercials out there from back when we were kids. I don't know, maybe it's just regional that they really put those commercials out, but that was one that my brother and I always wanted. And I think we actually saw one in the wild one time, someone that had one. I can't remember if that was just we were dreaming that we would run into somebody, but we always had. That was one of the ones that, like I said, my brother and myself always wanted was the GT Snow Racer. But so that's some of that stuff. Let me ask you guys. So this Christmas, okay, you know, you have it with your kids and there's something on the tree and your wife says, look, I got you something. If you could pick one retro related item, it doesn't have to be a toy. It could be anything that just reminds you of being a kid or anything. What would that one thing be, Rob, that you could? And you're like, well, nothing. I just told you I had everything. But if it was something, let's imagine there was something that you didn't have.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned that you were going to ask this. And so I cheated on this answer. Okay. I'm just going to tell you. If I could have anything retro related in the world, I would have, this is what I would ask Santa for. I would ask Santa for a list of everything I've ever owned. And this is why I would do that. I had so many toys as a kid that I guess I forgot about. And I'm reminded of them when I see them, like on the Retroist. The Retroist just had a post about the Kraken toy from Clash of the Titans. And I had one of those, and I remember having that. But in the picture, there's also a picture of Perseus, the action figure. I forgot I had that. But then when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I had that guy. And I had Calibos, too. And I actually have I still have the Charon from the River Styx. I have him. But I forgot that I had those, you know. And so, sure enough, you know, about an hour later, I'm poking around on eBay. You know how much a Kraken goes for? God, there's one right now. Buy it now, $500. Jeez, I can't.
Whoa.
I know, yeah, I can't pull the trigger on it right now. There's one online for $54, and then it says, no, you know, at the bottom of it had the giant tail, and then it had fins, and it's for $54 you could get one with no fins or tail or arms. It's like something that came out of Sean's army. It's just this, just whatever the torso and the head. That's all that's left of this thing. But literally $500. But so when I see these, you know, I ran across, this is what got me started in collecting the Fisher-Price Adventure People, is I ran across a photo and I started looking at it. I was like, I had that green Jeep and I had that kayak, you know. So if I could get one thing, it would just be a list of all that stuff that I used to own. And then I would just let eBay and the credit cards do the rest.
I think that's a great answer. I mean, I had told you there's no set answer. There's no, you know, that would be great because I'm the same way. I'll see stuff. I was watching, do you ever see Comic Book Men?
Yeah.
On AMC?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Kevin Smith and at the Secret Stash. Well, we were watching it and this guy brought in, I think it was like a 12-inch Star Trek figures with a... it was supposed to be like the deck, I believe, and where they would, I don't know what the heck it's called. I don't like Star Trek, but
the bridge,
the bridge. Yeah. All right, whatever. But we actually had that. as a kid, and I completely forgot. But the minute I saw that, I turned to my wife. I'm like, oh my gosh, I had that thing.
No, it was the Mego Bridge, wasn't it?
Sure.
Wasn't it the Mego Dolls, if you will? Wasn't that what it was?
I'm not sure. But maybe, yeah, Vic,
I'm sure it was.
But yeah, they were big. They were bigger dolls, and we had those. But yeah, the same thing, man. I mean, I would love to just have a book right there saying, yeah, we had this, and this. Because you do. I mean, and that's the great thing about, you know, you see it on Facebook or on like you said, the Retroist. A lot of people post stuff like that. And so I think that would be a great, they'd make a great coffee table book.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
All of Rob's old stuff.
It would ultimately be a very expensive gift.
Yeah. And how about you, Vic?
Well, I think if I could have anything, it would be the type of clock that used to be at one of our local drive-ins, the 62 drive-in. It was a Dr. Pepper clock. And it was, I guess it was lenticular. I mean, it's kind of like a kaleidoscope almost effect. And I can just picture it. I can tell you the colored hue of it. I mean, everything was fantastic. And I found one at a local flea market just last year, and it didn't work. So, but I don't know. I'd love to have that. If I can hedge my bet here and include a toy, it would be the Kenner Star Wars film strip projector.
Mm.
Man, I asked for that on my birthday and didn't get it because my father refused to get it since I had the Fisher Price movie theater.
Right.
And then I asked for it for Christmas and didn't get it. So I see those on eBay, and you know, they're not too expensive, but a lot of times, you know, it'll say that it doesn't work properly.
Right, yeah.
So. Right. Yeah.
And you want to?
And
sit
it's on
there
YouTube. And...
yeah.
Somebody put it on YouTube, and I'm just like, I'll just watch that.
Yeah, a lot less effort to get that working.
I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, when it's just kind of crazy considering that it came out at the same time as, you know, like I said before, Kenner had a Star Wars film viewer, hand viewer. So, and it's, you know, and they were like, well, let's put a film strip projector out as well.
Right.
And I'm sure what it is, it's a Give a Show projector. That's what it has to be. It's leftover Give a Show projectors from Yogi Bear and, you know, all that stuff. And they just thought, well, let's do Star Wars ones. Yeah, absolutely. Well, even the Star Wars, the handheld viewer was just repackaged $6 million man one.
Yeah, well, they can get away with it, right? They still practice that kind of stuff.
We bought them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Still buying them.
Yeah.
You know what? The thing that I picked is something that doesn't even exist. The show did. I would love to open up... a package that had Battle of the Network Stars on DVD. I absolutely love that show.
Yeah.
But it's not on DVD or anything like that. I don't see it probably ever coming out on DVD. So the rough copies that I have, I'm going to have to settle for, but I would love that. I would absolutely think it's
a licensing issue, you think, for all the stars?
I would have
to
think so, yeah. I mean, you had three different networks going, so...
That's true, too.
All the shows that were on those networks and all the actors. But if you haven't seen it, you can definitely catch some episodes on YouTube. And it's just, I just love the show. I mean, it's almost like you were talking about, Rob, seeing toys that you had as a kid, seeing these actors from different shows that I completely forgot about. You know, I would just love it. I watch them. Quite often, a lot of times, you know, maybe I'm at work on break. I'm not like sitting there glued with, you know, staring at them, but they're on and I get a kick out of them, especially up to like, you know, 84 ish. I love them. Just awesome. You got 1981, probably my favorite one. You had Tom Selleck on there, Magnum, just crushing it. But it was a great show. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's basically you would have your three major networks, your NBC, CBS, ABC, and they would all meet twice a year, I believe, and they would have different activities or events that they would do. There was some swimming events, some kayaking and like inflatable kayaks, which is funny to watch. there'd be some track events, tandem biking events. Just they would do a dunk tank for a while. They kind of got rid of that later on in the series, but it's just a great show. I love it. And
can you imagine stars today doing that?
I would not. But I don't know.
It'd be an insurance nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't
think they would even do it.
I hope I don't sound cynical. I just don't think it could happen today.
So, yeah. I don't think it could.
But Sean, for Christmas next year, 2014, you ready?
Yeah.
I am organizing Battle of the Podcast Stars. And there will be a series of events. We will be team throwback reviews. We're going to get the televisionaries on. Ferg is going to have to put together a team. Maybe he can team up with those No Quarter guys. Doug will get his people together, and we're going to make a series of events. Everybody will have to come in costume as their favorite person from the Battle of the Network Stars. So I'm not sure.
I'll start growing my mustache right now.
You could do Tom Selleck. Was Fat Albert on there? You're going to have to edit out a clip on that. You probably want to mark that.
Off the
wall. No, Sean, don't give up hope, obviously, because, I mean, Saturday Supercade, right? There was an animated series that people said, hey, there's no way that it's going to be put on DVD, and they're working on it right now.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. They still got a few licensing issues to get over, but they even said if worst case scenario, there might be one or two segments that aren't on there, but you know, but like I'm saying, you know, never give up hope, and maybe it'd be something like the best of, you know, the Battle of Network Stars.
I guess I would settle for that, but I think each show was kind of that way anyways. They would kind of condense them a little bit. I don't know. It's a great show. I know, Rob, you've seen it, and I know, Vic, you've probably watched it. Are you a fan of it? Or?
So, well, we've even posted about it on the Retros before. Actually, did you post about it?
I don't know. I've talked to him about a possible episode. I would love to hear him do something on that show.
I think once or twice we've posted some episodes on there.
Well, cool.
I think, like, Lou Ferrigno was always kind of always in them.
He was definitely funny in that. Really funny, especially with the stair, because they would do towards the end, they would do kind of break it up live, you know, make it funny. They would do a Simon Says episode or activity for a couple of the episodes, and he was funny in it. He was definitely amusing.
You remember, you know what, when I was a kid, there was like that one kid that was a foot taller than everybody else, so anytime you played football, you want that kid, you know? I don't know how I guess they did the teams just by network, but boy, you were lucky if Lou Ferrigno was on your side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's do the little log toss.
Exactly. Right.
So that would be my gift
that would be cool.
That I'm hoping for someday to get. I guess I should probably tell Nicole that way if it does come out. I'm like, it's been out for 3 years and I haven't gotten it yet. So, but I don't know, man. I think that's going to probably wind down our Christmas episode, unless you guys have any other fond memories you want to kind of talk about here at the end. Vic, you got anything? Or?
Well, it's my second favorite holiday of the year. Halloween being the first. So.
That's how it is at my house, too, with my kids and my wife. It's not for me. I'm still more of Christmas, but I like Halloween. I do enjoy it. It's grown on me a lot. My wife is really into Halloween. The kids are too. So I actually think they might get a little more excited about that than they do as far as the build up goes for the actual holiday. You know, I think they get more of a kick out of the build up for Halloween. But yeah, thanks for coming on, man.
Guys, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And why don't you? So you got that last time you were on, we talked about a podcast that you are going to be having coming out soon. You still is that still in the works?
Yeah, the Arcadia Retrokid podcast. Yeah, still working on it. Actually, getting a little bit of a, I don't know, I guess we'll say technical help. Waiting on some things from that, but I think it. You know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm quite a bit. So.
Great.
Well, yeah, we're looking forward to it too.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you guys. It's mostly because of, you know, you guys and the Retroists. So I have you guys to thank for it.
Well, definitely check out all Vic's posts on the Retroist. You got what? You get about what? 10 posts a day over there you put up there on the Retroist?
No. Nothing that crazy. Nothing that crazy. But yeah, I mean, I'll generally do one post a day, maybe 3 to 4 on Saturday or Sunday, depending, you know, because we start on the weekends, we start doing little special things like
right.
Saturday Frights or Retro Radio Memories, or the newest one is Sci-Fi Sunday. So
I love the Retro Radio Memories.
So, well, you've got a great old time radio show yourself. So.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Especially so little Gene Stapleton, I believe.
Gene Shepherd, a couple weeks ago, I did the voice and the narrator of A Christmas Story. So if that's one of your favorites and you like hearing those stories, I put together a episode a couple weeks ago with some of Gene Shepherd's radio shows where he tells some stories. So, but yeah, definitely keep an eye on Vic and follow him on Twitter. At VicSage2005, correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes. And yeah, Rob, I think that's going to wrap up this episode. I want to tell everybody have a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you after the New Year. So until next time, thanks for listening.
It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Happy holidays, everyone.